Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
Shouty, Even Shy, singing The Word You Cannot Say, a poem I wrote, she put music to. Thank you, Shout. Well, welcome back, my friends, to the show where I pretend to be somebody I'm not. This is ATOV Radio, Wonderland production. It's sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Foundation, Poetry Foundation. We are part of a writing, we are writers from the group allpoetry.com. We are group inside, a team of voices. You can find us there, knock on the door. Beverly will let you in. I can share your work, listen to our shows, and write to our contests or show your stuff. The number here is 646-668-2837, 1-646-668-2837. Along with me is my partner. I'm Jay Hatter, by the way. Jay Hatter, host for the night. With me is A.P. Taylor, man from Down Under. How are you, A.P.?
Hey, good, Hatter. How are you?
Still hot in California, man. You can't get out of it.
It's been hot everywhere. It's been hot that West Coast.
Well, there's a certain logic to getting used to getting used to the heat, but after a while,
yes.
You just need to And I'm very susceptible to meat these days. Yeah. Well, it's Hatterday Saturday. We have a prompt of someone I picked last week that we wrote to is the one that got away, whatever that means to you. It could be anything you want, I'm sure. But
so
how did you?
We have Stephen on the line, who needs to read and then get away. He's the one that needs to get away, and he's going to get away soon. You know. So.
Well, we appreciate him making time for us. So yeah, put it up, and we'll let him.
Hello.
Hey, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
How's it going?
Good. Yeah, for anybody that missed, the man cave would be postponed till later date. I'm not sure when, but maybe we could do the first open Friday we can sneak into.
Well, I already put it up for the last Friday in August. I don't know if that would be on sooner one.
That's what that works too. That's one. All right, let's see. I should get there. And I see Deborah's here. Hi, Deb.
Hello.
Deb.
And
good to see everyone, or hear everyone.
Everyone.
Yes.
So.
And I put your poem on the board, Stephen. So you're up, your link is up and running.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. The one that got away would always make me think of fishing. Because there's definitely been one of those. And so I brought one that I wrote a while ago called An October Fishing Trip. I based this on a time that my father and I decided to go camping and fishing in October, and it was very cold that weekend, but we didn't catch nothing. We did enjoy chili and John Wayne movies on the little black and white TV. So here we go. The smell of the canvas under the retractable roof, pure darkness all around. From the obsidian night outside the StarCraft, the choir practice goes on. The bullfrogs bring the bass, crickets and swifts soprano, while the cicadas scratch out tenor. Lapping of the waves against the shore keep the beat, and the wind brings the applause. The only interruption is the occasional snore as my father rolls over in his sleep. We'll catch the big one tomorrow, Dad.
You know, I learned through fishing up north, Northern California and Oregon from my dad. Going with my dad, I had to fall asleep first. It was a thing. You know, I put in the comment before of anytime you write about fishing, it chokes me up because I know how much you fish with your dad, as I did by the park when my dad retired. We were making all the time I could, every weekend at least, the local lake. But yeah, good memories. AP, what do you think?
Well, see, I think it's great that both you and Stephen had that sort of family lineage, if you will, about the fishing, because there's something kind of nice about the memories of fishing that are tied to a close person that you're close to, because you can enjoy the activity with them, and it sort of means it doesn't really matter if you don't get fish, because it's sort of fantastic that you're sitting there next to somebody that you admire and you like, and that to me is sort of what came out of the poem. It's this sort of great sense of family and history and connection.
Yeah. When I was little, my dad had a group of friends. They were FBI agents, Secret Service guys, and some lawyers that would go up steelhead salmon fishing up Northern California. It was a gas. I mean, we were the only kids that were allowed. My dad's. I think it was because he organized it all. We were the only little ones, but it didn't matter about catching a lot of fish. Getting no fish, that sort of sucked, but it didn't matter about the memories, because you remembered most of the other things.
Yeah, that's right.
On the trip.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's the journey. A lot of times it's the journey. Yeah, we had 7 hours in a car. We traveled at night.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, 7 hours with a bunch of dudes crammed in.
It's a long time filling.
But, Deborah Lee, see you over there. Turn hide. What do you think?
For one thing, I think that the wildlife and insect symphonies are the best ever. And I like how you gave each one a role in that band that night and set the tone. And you could, you know, sit back and think about the sounds that they were making. And then you tied it to the memories of your dad. And I have to admit, I giggled a bit when you said you had to fall asleep first, because I would assume that means that if Dad fell asleep first and he was snoring his head off, you'd never fall asleep from the noise. Or because he was, depending on your age, or if you didn't fall asleep first, then your brain knew Dad wasn't there protecting you and you didn't know what was going to go bump in the night. Either way, it was a really endearing poem and very cool. And I like the fact that these prompts now and then give you reminders of your dad.
Yeah, I never worried about bears coming in, or mountain lions coming into camp. My dad and his friends all had guns, they all packed. So that was never a concern. There was one time, I can't remember how old I was, but I made the mistake of taking a flashlight and flashing it in the bushes that surrounded the camp. So critters waiting for us to go to bed so they could raid. It was the raccoons. And I mean, there were like 50 sets of eyes just looking, and it was a spooky ass. They don't glow from the campfire necessarily, but you had it right. But you take a flashlight, it was pretty spooky. I think I was freaked out then.
I'm kind of scared of you, though. I don't know too many people that take their gun to fishing trips.
Well, they did, because we went up to the Hoopa Reservation, and the Hoopa Indians were always at war with the government on gill netting and what they could do to their river. Now, we always had to stay on the other side of the river. In the later years, the earlier years, my dad knew an Indian named, what was his name? I think he's called John. Yeah, Johnny. He ran the cafe, hardware store, bait shop in Willow Creek. And we would stop there on the way up and get the key to his property, which was on Indian land. But the problem was, if we were to be found on Indian land by other Indians, they had a tendency of burning your cars and having problems. So that was basically the times where they were all worried about a possibility of being approached. But most of the time we went over the Klamath River to the other side. And even at that, one side's the Hoopa Reservation, one side's not. You don't know how the Indians are going to react to you. So I never had a problem, though. It was never a problem. But so what kind of boat did you have, Steven? What did you have?
We did have a. My dad had a boat, a 22-foot. I can't remember the brand. I think it was a Bayliner. It had a little cutty down. Sleep, and it was a nice big boat. Kay and I actually camped.
That's a big boat.
Yeah.
Especially a Bayliner. They have the big holes in it. The big old. My dad had a tri-hull with a canopy. With a 50-horse. Yeah, it got up and moved, but you know, it was a good fishing boat. Open bow, had the open bow. He could sit up.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, thank you for writing, Stephen. I know you can't wait. You can't stay too long, but to stay as long as you want.
Yeah, I gotta get going. Park closes at dark, so I'll keep driving.
Did you want to go over anything else you're coming up on your schedule?
Sure. See, our first show in August will be August 2nd, Poetic Inklings. It'll be our visit with our Artist of the Year, Lisa Esato. Kay found a lot more beautiful paintings from the artist to write to. Check those out. 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And then Sky is on Thursday with another edition of Star Wars, The Mandalorian Season 1, character rights, quote rights, scene rights, Geek Out with Sky, 8 p.m. Thursday night. And if I could just real quick throw out there that I do have two books now available to buy at Amazon.com. The Eerie Depths came out in May, and the prequel, The Eerie Ocean, came out earlier this week. And I do want to say thank you to the person in Italy that bought The Eerie Depths to make me an international author. Do you appreciate that?
Yeah. Hey.
Woo-hoo! There you go. Yeah, The Eerie, as in Lake Erie, right? Reference to where you and your dad fished. Memories are made.
It does take place on Lake Erie. The title has the two E's, as in very eerie.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you for stopping by. Writing.
Have a good night.
Kiss the wind for me. Say hi.
Thanks, Lou.
All right. Now I got a question. You know what the cryptics are, right, AP? The cryptics.
So talking at us?
The cryptics. Cryptics. They're interdimensional sort of monsters. That's what they consider Bigfoot as, a cryptic.
I have heard of the theme of cryptics. Yes. Yes, I have.
And they're very, the Mothman, and on and on.
Yeah.
I was looking up some of the cryptics. Some of them they have them numbered, and some of them, they say they're jailed. They're in prison. We keep them under some force field prison, imprisonment somewhere. Well, I don't know. But there's one that is in Australia, and it's one badass cryptic, man. Everything in Australia is going to be bigger and better about messing you up.
Or uglier. Yes.
And,
yes. Yes.
So,
yes.
So you have your own cryptics down there. That's good. That's great.
We should do a show on cryptics. It's very true. We always have things to keep you on your feet, Hatter, or not. So, and that is a very good entree to my poem. Are you ready to hear it?
Sure. Let me get there.
It is now up on the board.
And I am there. Got it.
Yeah. I've got a story about this once I finish it. Anyway, this is Hook, Line, and Shiver. It goes a little bit like this. I swear it was laughing at me while I played along with the line. Just when I felt the pull forcefully, sent a friend, they never was mine. They never cast the fishing type. Here I was at a camp with friends. So I cast to check out the hype, but not much as depths descend. There were trout in these waters, so said the wise from the lakes. But as I strained in dark quarters, I learned also there were snakes. And one was swimming at me, its stripes to give away sight. And I threw the line away, see, as no fish has a similar bite. End poem.
Striped fish in the water, that's not good.
Not good, Hatter. Not good. Now, I can tell you that this actually did happen, and I can tell you why, and why I remember it, because I saw the bloody snake coming, and I had the line, and I literally jumped and threw it in the same motion and went sprinting back to the camp, right? Now, the problem was that I did it so quickly that I wrecked my neck, and so by the time I got home from the camp, my neck was stuck at a 90-degree angle. I was looking over my left shoulder because of how quickly I jumped and moved to get away from this bloody snake. took about three or four visits over a week to get my neck straight again, so I was looking straight ahead with a chiropractor. It was really gentle work to sort of slowly move it around. It was the weirdest thing, you know. You think I got some shit when I went to school?
I think they call it a kink.
Yes, Well, this was a, I call it a rick or a crick or something, but Jesus
sure.
Christ, it was
yeah, well, lack of
medical
A,
embarrassing,
terms, yeah.
B, sore, and but it was all due to this friggin' snake that was coming at me. It scared the crap out of me.
You know, that says something about how quick, I mean, because what that is the fight or flight,
yes.
And it's an adrenaline burst. It's an adrenaline burst, but how instantaneous it can come. I mean, very quickly.
Yes. Yes. Agreed.
Yeah.
Absolutely agreed. Yeah, absolutely, that's what it was.
I think I've been in some similar situations where, you know, you had to react real fast, but there's one that stands out. I was spotting for a backhoe, and I was in a six-foot ditch with mounds of dirt on each side. And what I'm doing is I'm looking to make sure if I see – we're making sure that he's – because he's crossing pipes that are supposed to be no less than three feet down. So he's going about 3 feet for my lines, my underground, because I'm on top of the gas lines, the sewer lines, the water lines. So I'm in this ditch, and he with his bucket, he tears a nipple off this 3-inch pressurized gas line. And it exploded.
Oh,
sounded like a shotgun. Sounded like a shotgun. And
yes.
my backhoe driver, Barry Brandt, who was Brandy Brandt's father, if you know who Brandy Brandt is. Anyway, he said he'd never seen. I had a full tool belt on, and I leaped out of that 6-foot ditch with mounds of dirt on each side with one hand.
Yep.
I was out of that ditch so fast.
It's so quick, and as you say, the adrenaline kicks in, and you know, I was 20 meters away before I knew where the hell I was, because I, you know, you don't even remember what you've done. You just get the heck out of there, yeah. And
yeah,
it wasn't until I stopped running that I thought, Jesus, my neck is sore. And then it wasn't until, you know, I got to that evening and I couldn't move my bloody neck. You know, it was ridiculous. You know.
Yeah. You just stretched it. Anyway, that gas line shut down the highway for 4 hours. I was freaking out. I was freaking out because one spark would have lit that whole ditch up.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yep. Same. Exactly the same reaction.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go.
Yeah. He goes. Maybe I should shut the backhoe off. I go, yeah, you think? One spark.
Yeah.
Even static electricity would light that thing up.
Yeah. Yeah. You bet.
But yeah, I don't know how I got out of that. Anyway, Deborah Lee, you still with us?
Yep. Although my phone went silent for a few seconds, I thought I got disconnected. But
did you mute us?
But I liked the little drawing that he put with the poem. And you know, it starts out, I swear it was laughing at me, and that of course starts you off with a smile. And I mean, I bet it's funny now, but with the neck injury, I'm sure it was not funny for quite a while. But sometimes it just, you know, something just scares you so much. It's like, you drop everything, you pull and all. So I thought that this was a fun share. And another example of, because usually, you know, people think the one that got away and the first thing they think of is the girl or guy that got away. But I like how so far the poems have nothing to do with that kind of thing. And mine didn't either. So now I'm curious to see what the others did. But this was a really fun share. Not so fun.
Well, that's a guy.
Really fun poem.
That must be a guy thing, because one got away was always fishing.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost looks like a. What is it that New Zealand doesn't have? But they have eels. They have those river eels.
They do have eels. New Zealand doesn't, and they have lizards, but they don't have snakes. Had it.
Is it snakes? Wow. Okay.
No, they don't have them.
Yeah, we got everybody's snakes. Everybody in the world. One of the snakes.
I know that.
I didn't know there was a wild. Place where there were no snakes. I thought everybody had one kind or another.
No. New Zealand don't have snakes. They have some.
Oh, I guess that's because there were so many in Australia. There wasn't any left for New Zealand.
Ireland doesn't have snakes. Well, I tell you what, New Zealand do have though, Hatter, and they have lizards. Yeah, but they're not lizards like your average everyday lizards that we've got in Australia, or you know, goannas or
iguanas,
whatever.
Iguanas.
Yeah.
They got iguanas, don't they? The sea iguanas.
No. New Zealand have got an even older form of lizard. And so these lizards, no, they're called tuataras, and they are from the animal phyla of dinosaurs. They're actually living dinosaurs, yeah?
Oh, really?
And
they're
fascinating creatures. So they're fascinating creatures. They live for over 150 years. And they've got a couple of little things that are really interesting. They don't have teeth. They just have a jawbone and the teeth are part of it. So they don't have separate teeth, number one. Anyway, that's the first one. Second one.
Okay.
In the first 6 months that they live, they have three eyes. They have two on the side and they have one at the top of their head.
No way.
Then that eye closes up. No, seriously. For the first 6 months, tuataras have three eyes. And I guess it's to deal with predators. But I don't know of any other animal that has three eyes, two on the side and one at the top of the head, but a tuatara does. And the final thing is that depending on the temperature, that's what decides whether they're a male or female. Gets hotter, they become males.
Okay.
Gets colder,
okay,
they become female. I figure. Anyway, there's two tuataras for
you. Do you know what they had? In captivity, they had a monitor lizard who delivered eggs. They lay eggs, but they were fertile.
Yes.
For the first time, they realized that a monitor lizard can produce offspring without coming across the male.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
And they have a tuatara in Invercargill called Henry. And Henry is over 150 years old.
Whoa. And they're,
that's
and
an
they're
old
plant visit. Are they plant eaters?
Yes. Yeah, plant eaters.
Do they go
Yep.
Are they swimming? Do they go to the ocean? Do they go to the ocean like the iguanas?
They do.
Okay.
They do. Yep, they do. So there's two different types of tuataras. There's one that's on the mainland, and there's one that's on a little set of islands. They do both of them swim.
The only thing I can think of that's sort of as weird is the phylaeosaur or the flounders. They lay on the bottom of the when they're born, their eyes are on each side of their head, but they lay on they lay on the floor, so the bottom eye rotates and ends up on the
top. Same sort of thing.
Yeah,
anyway, there you go. Well, I don't know how we got into that, but anyway, that's
all right. Deb, did you bring us a present?
I did.
Did you? You want to play yours?
SoundClouds and then yours. You want mine now?
Sure. Let's do yours. Did that storm hit?
It's my turn to come up with a theme for next week.
I was gonna ask you after Deb.
Okay.
Got it.
Got it. It's there.
Yep.
Okay. I was saying hi to Chaos on the board. All right, so this is called Nap Time for Dad Leaves a Family Without Food. And I just had to write because I love this picture. It's like too cute for words. Anyway, here we go. In the thick brush of the grasslands in Africa, donkey herds roam the woodlands and bray. At night, neath the light from the white moon, lions hunt for prey. Then they sleep in the day. Tonight, all the lion cubs wrestle in orange mud as Mom hunts the field for a fat hare that hops. Green palm leaves swing from the soft wind gusts, and the glow of the moonlight hits the treetops. Dad naps, blocking his eyes from the moonlight. Then his soft purr switches into a rattling snore. All the wrestling cubs roll into the geraniums, bumping into the passel of fanged wild boars. They charge after the lion cub as the cubs play. Mama lion charges over and chases them away. Mom lion roars over the boar that scooted away. Dad's in the doghouse now, with no boar buffet. And Paul?
Yeah, I think the king of beast is the king because of his role in the prides. He doesn't hunt; he protects mostly. It's the lionesses that freaking make the kill. But I like the way you make it sound like the lions are just like a kitty cat. The most dangerous animals they are. Tonight, all the lion cubs wrestle in orange mud. Yeah, I think the lions are probably the most watched, surveilled, besides maybe elephants, of the continent of Africa, the lion prides. What do you think, AP?
Oh, I thought the rhyming was fun to start with, and we had it got so much fun that we had monorhyme in my last answer, which is kind of cool. There's a playfulness, which is nice. That's sort of cool. And there's a sort of happy, sort of go-lucky, sort of things are going well type to it. Now, I think we might have a special guest that's come on, Hatter, that's waiting to come on to the show. Yeah? I'm going to let them in.
All right.
Okay. Hi, 580. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, Cass.
Hello, how are y'all tonight?
We're good.
How about you? Do you ever have one get away, Cass?
Yeah.
You had one get away? Did you write about it? Were you able to hear Deborah's poem?
No, I didn't.
That's okay. That's okay.
Having technical issues tonight with battery chargers.
Ah, that's not so good.
Yeah.
I had heard my roommate brought up to my attention. In Africa, they have a roaming pack of male lions. All adult, roaming from area to area. Now, usually there's two, maybe three at the most, but there's seven of them. And I'll tell you what, there's no head of the prides that is safe. That's unheard of, seven of them getting together and banding together hunting and causing terror, because they'll eventually get into more populated areas of people.
That's not good.
More to come, I'm sure. Well, AP, it's time for next week's
next week's show.
Prompt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, there's two things. Firstly, just for chaos, because we do talk, you know, painting and stuff. I've actually got the biggest canvas that I have ever had on my little stand. In fact, the canvas is bigger than the stand, and I'm struggling to do the ends of it without the whole board wobbling. Anyway, it's probably going to be used as an excuse for me to go out and buy a new painting stand. I think chaos. Anyway, I've got a little way to go. Yeah, an easel.
Those easels are very good. I'm sorry.
No. I've just had a really. I've got a. cheap and cheese. Anyway, putting that to one side, yeah. I was thinking,
yeah.
Leading on from my poem, yeah, because there is a linkage here, I was thinking that we could do scales, because these scales can be used as a sort of thing on animals, but they also be used like scales of justice or something like that, yeah, like a measuring thing, yeah, in
okay,
a gold
like, scale. Like the truck scales or scales
or
on
truck
the fish.
Scales or gold scales or whatever. Yes. Yes, so scales in all their different forms.
That damn weight machine lying to me.
Yeah.
What is it, the bathroom scale? Yeah, the bathroom scale.
Yeah. Hatter, I'm just going to be just 2 minutes. I've got my son calling me. He's not very well. So I'm just going to get off the line, and I'll be back in a bit.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Just one tick. I'll be back.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I got a question for you ladies. If by chance that the aliens had landed here and we reverse engineered part of it or some of the technology, what do you think was leaked out? What do we have technology advanced that you would think we got from aliens? I mean, what I'm saying?
Ask it again. What? Hatter?
If they did what?
Thank you. If aliens crash land on Earth, let's say, and we have the ship, we don't know how it works, but we reverse engineered. Reverse engineering means to figure out how it works from the product backwards. What technology do we have that you would think was alien? Like you could say miniaturization, the solid, from solid state to the chips, computer chips. That would be one that I could. Another one's fiber optics, sending sound through light and cables underground. Another one. How about Velcro? Something like that.
Well, if you go into TV land, I would think that beam me up, Scotty, the ability to beam somebody, or better yet, that hand gadget that the doctors use, they just scan you and they can fix you with the touch of a button. Those would be the kind of things that would pop into my mind.
Tricorder. No, yeah, but I mean technology that we have, that we've actually used, that you think could be
MRI machine.
MRI, nuclear medicine, yeah. How about the cameras? How about optics from satellites? How far high in space, miles in space, they can tell you what gum you're chewing, you know, or the name on your lapel or something. That's another one that blows my mind. I think this new hypersonic weaponry could also be if. We have a plane, a fighter plane, the Raptor, which is the F-22. It we share all technology from the F-35, F-16, F-18, all this with other countries that are our friends, but we don't share anything of the F-22 Raptor. If you remember years ago, they developed a helmet, a motorcycle helmet that you can control. Things from your eyes. It's like the fighter pilots have now in their helmets. But the suit they're wearing also is supposed to be like when a pilot gets into the 22, he becomes part of the plane. It's an interactive between our AI, the computers, and the pilot brain waves and stuff. That's what they think the F-22 has, but we won't share that technology. We will not share. Cloaking. How we cloak the plane, the bombers and the fighters, they can't see them. That's pretty high tech. We just come up with that. I don't know. something to think about.
You know how we always
hear this song about AI on my Facebook page.
Yeah, it's scary. They've already witnessed two systems talking to each other. Yeah, they've already witnessed two systems talking to each other. And as soon as they can figure out when they start asking questions and being able to think for themselves, I think we're in trouble. That's why Elon Musk is saying, he's the first one to scream, better watch what you're doing. Once you tap them into the power grid, you can really control a lot of human activity. Can't cool off, can't warm up, can't get food. Hopefully it's not going to be a problem, but can we throw up, let's see, I guess I could try. I think we got Pee-wee.
Oh, Hatter.
Oh, no, Chaos, yeah, Chaos, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you know how we often pretend that you just got abducted by aliens and then we push the button and you come back and everything and then we tease you about being probed? Well, I was thinking maybe we could trace the colonoscopy camera back to aliens.
No, there was no probing. There was no probing.
You stick into that story, Hatter, but they probe everybody.
Well, they like me. Okay, all right. Well, what do you want me to do? Send you the results?
No, thank you. How about if we just let chaos
You know, if you think about it, that is one freaking weird test that you participate in. There's actually people that say, well, what do you do for a living? Well, they mail me this shit that I have to take literally. Had to be there, I guess.
Yeah, that box of they sending you polite poop in and send it back and they screen you. Yeah, I've seen that on TV.
It is wrong. This thing's wrong. Got to do it, I guess. And I went over my test. Mine's about no problem. I'm good. Nothing there. Nothing there to see. Move along.
See, they do probe you, Hatter.
I'll tell you what. You don't know. I was locked out. It was over before it started. Jesus.
Yeah. No, you don't even know what's going on. It's the prep for it that's the nightmare.
Yeah, it's the anxiety and the crap you got to drink. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, yeah. Getting ready for one is the worst, 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 worst.
Yep.
Anyway, I don't know how we got on that nasty subject. I guess it was my fault. But, Chaos, your link's on the board. Will you read for us?
Yeah. Let's do that.
This is a big change of topic now. All right. Are y'all ready for me to read?
Yep, we're right.
You ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Ready, Freddy.
Okay. So many nights we both looked to the sky. I wade into the darkness, waves of sadness crashing into me. Is it possible to drown in your own tears? Only the moon knows how the melancholy flows. She sees me surrounded by it, though I never saw you. I know that wherever you are, she can see you too. If only she could tell me why the tide turns, as her face changed so many times, just hoping that you still watch too.
A little watching. So the moon's female. Is that what you're saying? She can see you too. That word. If only she could tell me why the tide's turned. So why the tide's turned? The question. Talk about feelings. Feelings. How come you? It changed, grew apart. What do you think, Deb?
Yeah, I was going to say, when she's done reading, I could feel the sadness. And I like the fact that while you were looking at the sky, it would be, I mean, sometimes you don't get answers. What do they call that nowadays, being ghosted? And it would be pretty clever if you could look up at Luna and be told what and why and what changed. And I liked it, the tides turned, because, you know, the play on words with the moon setting the tides and stuff like that plays into it. But you sit and you watch and you hope still that that person's looking in the same sky you are, and you wonder if you'll ever have any answers. What a sad thought. And I think it goes perfectly with the one that got away. Because, like I said, you just don't have a clue. And thanks, Chaos. Now you have Katy Perry in my head, just saying.
And to answer your question, is it possible to drown in your own tears? Metaphorically, yes, I guess. Well, close to drowning.
Did we lose Chaos?
No, she's there.
I'm still here.
Got emotional on us. Your voice changed.
Okay.
I am. I'm really hoarse today. Off and on.
Yeah, Chaos, I truly missed how you write. It's Chaos writes in a way that you have to read it a second time through slowly. Only the moon knows. She see me sounded by. Very good, Chaos.
Thank you.
All right. We're approaching, we got 12 minutes. I think we got Pee-wee's.
Yeah, we have three left, Jenny, Pee-wee, and yours. And, you know, Hatter, I'm just wondering, I don't know how long it'll leave us sit in limb. Never mind. I was just going to say maybe I should dial back. So
it's okay. I'm back.
Cool.
All right.
Everything okay, I hope?
I have returned.
He's back.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I promise. It's okay.
Yeah, we just read Chaos's poem.
Excellent. This is good news. If it was Chaos's poem, I'm sure it was a very good one.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and throw either one, whichever one you want. Let's go Jenny.
Jenny?
Yeah, put Jenny. Jenny the Deep.
Well,
okay, there you
well, let's grab that palm. Are you doing that? You've done that yet?
Yeah,
and
so
if that's the case, I will play the sound clip.
Cool, thank you.
Kind sir, swim back. Every day, I know you get tired of me asking, baby, are we all right? I understand, it's tasking. Needing reassurance, fight after fight, night after night. I'm afraid one more disagreement and you'll take flight. Sitting here, fearing you'll revoke that passionate kiss. Reminded daily in the sea for you, there are many fish. Please, sir, don't toss me back in your treacherous, toxic water. Instead, tell me, then show me how I'm your greatest catch and lover. I understand if you ever need to release me back into the rough, roaring, rapid, regurgitating seas. May the floating sunlight help you to once more reminisce until it is me, kind sir, that you will one day miss. Let the sea carry you back home to me tonight, to hold me in your arms, squeezing me nice and tight. Whisper to me that all between us will again be all right. Passing love's biggest test, never giving up without a fight. and poem.
You know, it. Yeah, I think it's the biggest blind spot that anybody could have in their life is you don't see the change in the other person that other people do that leads to separating. It's unfair that you have to go through that heartache. Is I would rather be hurt physically than have the heartache. Chaos, what do you think?
This is really hard hitting. It's just.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, Jenny.
Like line Jenny, after line that just really kind of hard to read, hard to. It's got so much feeling in it.
Yeah, and this is the part that poetry that's therapeutic. You write it down to get it out, let it go, to move on
in
one way or another, make a decision. But Deborah, want to comment?
Yeah, I agree. It's got a lot of power to it. Sitting here fearing you'll revoke the passionate kiss. That's a sad thought. And I understand if you ever do need to release me back into the rough, roaring, rapid, regurgitating seas, what a line, let the sea carry you back to home to me tonight, to hold me in your arms, squeezing me nice and tight. It's got the longing, the emotion is all oozing through.
Ow!
And that was a really great read, and I noticed that she got an honorable mention for it, too. Congratulations on your award.
I gotta go, guys. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. All right, Chaos.
Thanks, Chaos.
Aw.
Yeah, Jenny hits hard in that heartache. Everybody goes through, and we all survive. That's the one thing that's most important to remember. We all survive. Well, let's if we can put up Pee-wees and we can maybe get the 7 minutes. We got 7 minutes left. Maybe we can squeeze Pee-wees in real quick. Have you comment, AP?
Okay. Did you want to comment on Jenny's one?
If you want
quickly,
to, real quick. I'm just trying to get it in.
Just the real pain and pining in that poem, and the words used were just really quite striking. And I think, you know, they took Chaos's breath away, and it probably took mine away too. So very impressive. Jenny?
Okay, let's get Pee-wees up if we could. I'm not there.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Okay, let me see if I can do that quickly, and then I'll hit the SoundCloud. You got it? Okay.
Yep,
oh, you're SoundCloud now?
Yep. It's a go ahead. Hit the go button.
A new beginning. No, it's just the end. An epic story starting at the end of the beginning. Pride aside, fallen from grace, lost all of my winnings. Sedated social scene, a serrated society spectacular. Gone on a ride in a VW van, a vile, vexing vernacular. Pondering, I despise, I surmise that, not to my surprise, your lies were devised to try, and I fell for your alibis. Shaken, as I should be stirred, not confident with words. Bullet to my mind, a line once defined, is now blurred. Mind and body opened up to and for you, left ever blue. And you made me rue altruistic sentiments, it's true. Fate, born with an itch, an entirely cruel bitch all along. Singing your song out of tune, I felt strong, but I was wrong. Many things I lack, good health is one, and it's wrecked. If not spent on crack, it was gifted you, never to be back. You'd think I would learn after every time being burned. I couldn't discern, as in turn, I would see you and yearn. Clear through the veneer, I'll be lucky lasting 1 year. Penning to paper words that your ears need to hear. Told you before that you're a sight lovely to behold. Recent years morphed to rotten and cold. Insides mold. Is it the end of the line or the start? A new beginning. Lies, I'd venture to say you're winning. I'm out of innings. Sitting, quitting, missing jacks. Fathom what you become.
Let's play with my gun.
Well, unexpected ending. Lucky day either way, I say. Hey, P, what'd you think?
Well, I like the quote, death is not the greatest loss in life. The greatest loss is what dies inside us while we live. And I sort of thought about what Pee Wee was writing about, and I thought about the great Eagles song Desperado, Adam, where it says, your prison is walking through this world all alone. End comment.
Yeah. I'm getting to like more and more the constant, the repetitive rhyme in one line, and then being able to break out of it.
Yeah.
And then he does it a couple times. I thought that was very good. Very good.
Okay. Very well recorded. Very well. Very well done. Yes.
I want to thank everybody for participating with the show tonight. Steven 76, Chaos, Pee Wee, Jenny, The Deep. AP Taylor, thank you. And Deborah, of course, always nice spending the evening with you. So next week's word, it will be scales, correct?
Yes.
And,
yes.
Okay, I got all that out of the way. If I could get mine up, maybe I could do it within the next 2 minutes.
Please do.
Okay.
And we could get Deb to talk about what's coming up.
Yeah, Deb, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, and also, like, I have a few extra minutes, so there's no reason not to fit yours in. But, I'm on Pee Wee's here. I'm just struck by the fact that breaking his heart, and if you see the thing where the leash was there, so, like, his pet got away.
Right.
He's hoping that he comes back. And I was listening and I was feeling some kind of way. So I started thumbing through the author's notes, and it says that, the collar, sometimes he changes where he's gone. But I looked down further and someone had asked if he got any good news yet, and he said no. I guess, pet has not. And he even said, he says he does tend to go on walkabouts now and then, but not quite for this much time. So I feel bad. And don't give up hope. He could still come back. My sister's cat came back a year and a half later. So anyway, just felt like...
Yeah, keep the faith. Keep the faith.
Yeah.
Very good. Could somebody post... Oh, there it is. Mine's The One That Got Away, original title. Yeah, it goes like this. I remember the first time I was only 9 when I learned the meaning of spooled. I swear it was the second day there and I had lost my very first duel. One day I held it in my 2 hands. Lessons learned, I now understand. Don't reach for something you already caught. Just smile and walk away. Count those things. Count those things that you might have bought. How much did you have to pay? I stood in line for a very long time for something I did not need. What I learned drew my concern. Fine print I did not read. It was found without me. My biggest, the biggest I've ever seen. A potato in size doesn't cannot believe my eyes. That was my dream. A memory of such that means so much. I saw her again, I swear. She looked my way with nothing to say, as if she did not care. This might sound confusing, but I'm tired of losing, and today will be my day. The glory is mine. I'm ready this time for the one that got away. Painful. Almost got it in.
I hope that's true, Adam.
Thank you.
My goodness.
Yeah.
If that's true, then this is a fine day.
Nice guys. Come in last.
Well, realistic guys come somewhere in the middle.
Well, you know what? I tell everybody else this, that if you're an empath or you tend to feel everybody's pain, don't change.
Yep.
As you balance the universe out for those that don't feel, you need those that do over and over. So. Well, thank you guys for another good Saturday night scales next week.
And we'll work out. I don't know what, is that you, Adam?
Somebody falling downstairs.
It does.
Okay.
Right.
It sounds like somebody falling downstairs.
Yeah, no, it's not me.
Deb, you okay?
Sorry.
Oh, maybe she had to jam.
No, I'm here. I apologize. I didn't mute. I was typing. It was my fault. I didn't realize I didn't mute.
Okay.
Too easy.
But yeah, be
sure to check out the topics
Monday if you didn't already and get your art. The prompt is the moon. And there's some beautiful and a half a dozen quotes by, like, there's a Poe and a Mark Twain and a Frank Sinatra. So I put the link on the board. Click it and check out the art. Hope to see you there at 10 on Monday night.
Will do.
Thank you, Ted.
All right, thank you. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you
Thanks
next
again,
Saturday.
Hedda. Love and respect.
See you, guys.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.